Our text today, our gospel lesson, is a continuation of the text last night. It's Luke chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from verses 8 through 20 with a little annotation as we go along, since we just reviewed this text last night. It reads here that in that region where the shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night, then an angel of the Lord, and we're not sure if this was Gabriel, the angel that appeared to Mary and to Zechariah, but an angel of the Lord appeared unto these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know, it's interesting in our culture, the whole craze about angels a number of years ago. We all want angels to visit us, but every time we read about angels visiting people in the Bible, they're terrified. In fact, you know what one of the most common expressions in all of the Bible is? It comes in the next phrase here. Do not be afraid. That's right. In fact, you know what's neat? Christy was pointing this out to me just the other day. As I mentioned last night, my favorite Christmas programming is the Charlie Brown Christmas Show, because that's the most spiritual, I think, program that's out there in this season. And I love that scene where Charlie Brown asks, you know, what's the real meaning of Christmas? And Linus says, Charlie Brown, I'll tell you the real meaning of Christmas. And then he quotes this very passage. But did you ever notice that when he comes to that point, do not fear, do not be afraid, do you know what happens? The only time in Peanuts history does Linus drop his security blanket. Go back and watch it on YouTube. He drops it because he doesn't need to be afraid anymore. Isn't that cool? So do not be afraid. That's what the angel said. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Now that's definitely a sign, because even in those days you didn't put a newborn infant in a feeding trough. That was definitely a sign. But what's interesting here is he's in swaddling clothes. He's in strips of cloth. What does that remind you about the other end of Jesus' life? That's how he ends up, isn't it? It's foreshadowing his death. Here he is, born to die for you and me. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. In the King James, it's a myriad. And a myriad is at least 10,000. 10,000 angels of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace amongst those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And thus, these shepherds are the very first evangelists, aren't they? And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. To begin with here this morning, I'd like to say that when we read this word good news in verse 10, how many of us know what the root word is in Greek that has become an English word? Evangelism, right, evangelical. Very good. That's exactly correct. Mike, you're on a roll, baby. I asked what was his Emperor Augustus's real name, and Mike knew Octavius. Did you know he was the adopted son of Caesar also, Mike? Wow, I'm impressed. That's right. The Greek word there, evangelism, some people in some churches are afraid of that word. They stay away from that word. They figure that's an activity for religious wackos, right? However, the word in the Greek is euangelios. And the first part, you, means good. If someone dies and you want to say good things about them, you deliver a eulogy. Logos means word. You means good. You want to give a good word about them. That's the meaning of you. Euangelios. Angelios sounds like what in English? Angel. Why? Because angels were messengers. They brought news. And in this case, good news. Good news. That's where we get the word evangelism. So evangelism is sharing good news. Just as the first shepherds, or the first evangelists, the shepherds, shared good news. What's even more interesting is that these first evangelists are equipped to evangelize by being told that not only is evangelism the sharing of good news, but they're told that this good news will bring great joy to many people. Now tell me, what's so hard about evangelism? What's so hard about bringing other people great joy by sharing good news with them? C.S. Lewis once said that joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. And that's exactly what Christmas and Christianity is all about, bringing real joy to our world. But so often our world does not want to hear this good news of great joy that we, like the shepherds, come to share. And the reason for that comes in verse 11, where we read there, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, part of the reason that some people in the world don't want to hear the good news that we want to share with them is because a Savior is not what the world really wants, even though that's the number one thing the world really needs. Why does the world need a Savior? Because the world's number one problem is what? Sin. Sin, right? If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, you know that's where baseball is first mentioned, right? In the beginning. I know that's bad. Just testing. What can I say? I got a million of them, you know? That's what I'm afraid of, right? No, if you go back to the beginning, the first couple of chapters, we know that things were great. It was heaven on earth. It was paradise. It was the Garden of Eden, right? And Adam and Eve went around singing a little song, "No shirt, no shoes, no problems." I think that became a Jimmy Buffett song, right? But really, I mean, life was footloose and fancy free. It wasn't like they sat around and did nothing. They had work. They had to tend the garden. But the work was fulfilling. It was creative. It was productive. And they enjoyed life. And they enjoyed each other. They were a great couple. And every night they got to share with the Lord in the cool of the evening. Imagine what a life. But then something happened. Rebellion came in. Sin came in. And it ruined it. From that time until now, the world's greatest problem has been sin, and the world's greatest need has been salvation. But the sad thing is that the world, by and large, can't see this, can't perceive this, can't become aware of this fact, even though it's right under their noses. That sin is the biggest problem. They can't see it. I read a humorous story about this, about a Mexican kid, teenage kid named Juan. And every day Juan would ride a bike across the border into the U.S., and he'd have strapped over his shoulders two big bags full. And this looked very suspicious, so every time he came across the border officials would stop Juan. And they would ask him, "What do you have in the bags?" And he said, "I got nothing wrong. What do you got in the bags?" "I got sand in the bags." "Oh, no way." So they'd open up the bags, and sure enough, there'd be sand. They'd pillage the sand. Sometimes they'd pour the sand out. Sometimes they'd rip the bags. But every day Juan came by on his bike, they'd ask him, "What do you got?" And Juan got through. This went on for 3 years. After 3 years, Juan no longer came across the border. But one day, some of these guards happened to stop in at a local cantina in one of those border towns, and lo and behold, there was Juan in the cantina. So one of the guards went up to him and said, Juan, listen, okay, this is off the record, But you know, I know that you were smuggling something. I want you to be honest. What was it that you were smuggling? You know what Juan said? Bicycles. Ah, smart kid. Bicycles. Hidden in plain view, as they say, right? That's sin, isn't it? That's the problem, but we don't see it. A guy I read years ago, David Brinkley, once asked Ann Landers, of all the hundreds and thousands of letters that she gets from all of her readers, what is the most common question that she is asked? You know what she said? The most common question that people ask is, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Well, the answer is in plain view. Sin. That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with me. Or as Pogo said, we have met the enemy and he is us. We are our own worst enemies because of sin. That's our biggest problem. It was G.K. Chesterton who once said, you know what's wrong with the world today? You know what's wrong with the world today? I am. I'm what's wrong with the world today. Me and you and you and you, each of us. But the world doesn't get that. Instead, there are many people in our world who think that ignorance is our problem and education is the solution. It is a solution, but not the solution. Some people think poverty is the problem. That is a problem. And they think the solution is money. Some people think technology is the problem. And what's the solution? Science. Others think that war is the problem. What's the solution? Diplomacy. But God says that sin is the problem and a Savior is the solution. That's what God says. And that's the good news that God has given the shepherds here on this first Christmas day so that we could have hope for our world. And that's the message that we've been given to share, not only in this season, not only in this day, but every day of our lives. We're to share the good news. So this morning, since we're in a small group here, I'd like to conclude my message by asking you all to help me conclude this message by living out its implications. By living out its implications, I would like you to take a moment to share publicly with the rest of us here some of the good news that you are experiencing at this moment in time, or that you've experienced this Christmas season or this past year, or you expect some good news in the year to come. And don't think it has to be a long dissertation or anything very profound. It could just be a word. It could just be a phrase. It could just be a few sentences. But talk about what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life, in the life of your family. I want to give you a moment to do that. And if the Lord prompts you after saying a word or two and you want to say something else, we'll take a few. All right, well, good news. That's good news. It's great to hear good news. We need to hear good news in a world of bad news. The greatest news, of course, is that, you know, Jesus was born, and we celebrate that, and we have the hope of heaven. We not only have a great year, we have a great eternity in store for us. We're blessed. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for so much good news, Lord. Forgive us, forgive me, Lord, that so often it's easy to focus on the one negative and look over 100 positives. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you're doing great things in our lives. You're doing great things in our congregation. You're doing great things in this world. And we want to be encouraged by that, Lord, because you've given us the amazing task of sharing good news to the world. Thank you, Lord, for that good news. May we be faithful bearers of that good news, that we would show and that your light and your love would shine through us, unadulterated. Thank you, Lord, for the calling that you've given us. Thank you for the testimonies of your faithfulness. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we'll receive our morning offering. Dear God, each Sunday we're thankful for the gift that you've given us in Christ, but this special day we're especially thankful. We celebrate that you are the one who gave us the impetus to be givers. You have given to us so wholly and so completely. Lord, we want to just respond in gratitude by giving unto you your tithes and our offerings, and pray that you would use these to bring good news of glad tidings and great joy to a world that needs to hear it so desperately. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve you and serve others and to be partners with you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.